Hare Krishna, everyone. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Before we start the call, I would like to read today's quote, Srila Prabhupada quote, June 6th. The liberated souls and the incarnations who appear from time to time in this material world are not actually coming back because they are never subject to material contamination or the law of material nature. For the purpose of delivering the fallen living entities, they come here temporarily and then go back when their business is finished. And this is all under the direct order of the Lord. So the appearance of the Lord or great liberated souls in the material world is different from the appearance of the contaminated living entities who is forced to take birth in the material world due to his desire to lord over the world. Letter to Vrindavan Ishwari, June 6, 1969. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, everyone. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Priti Vilasini Mataji to enlighten us on the topic of Chaitanya Bhagavat, 81 verse 2. Sudevi, how many chanting beats are there in one mala? Can you tell me? 108 verse by Her Grace Priti Vilasini Mataji. Priti Vilasini Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Please take over the call, Mataji. Hari Bol.
That was a sweet quiz. Thank you for that, and thank you, Sudevi. So thank you all so much. Thank you all so much for joining. And as Sudevi and Vinita Mataji suggested, we'll be reading from verse number, which one?
81.
81. Okay. We'll be reading from verse number 81 of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavatam. Okay, so we'll start with the prayers. Om Ajnana Tirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuronmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langaya Tekirin Yat Prapatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamne Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayati Deshatarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you all again for joining us and giving us your very valuable association. And we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavata. And this is going to be Adi Khanda, and chapter 8 is what we have been assigned. Chapter 8, verses 81 through 108. My humble obeisances to all the Vaishnavas on the call. Vancha Kalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Krishna. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, we'll take up the verses. Can you share screen? This is Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Kanda, chapter 8, verse number 81. Ehi Mata Mishra Chandra, Dekite Putri, Te Niravadhi Pashe Vipra, Ananda Sagare. In this way, whenever he saw his son, Sri Mishra Chandra would float in an ocean of bliss. The word Mishra Chandra is the family surname with the Chandra added out of affection. Just like how we add Krishna Chandra, Ramachandra out of affection. So here we have Sri Mishra Chandra. Chandra is the moon. The moon is very, very cooling. So though the Supreme Lord has appeared in different dynasties like the Surya Vamsha and the Chandra Vamsha, though he appeared even in the Surya Vamsha, he was celebrated as Ramachandra because his nature is very cooling. So obviously the surname of the Supreme Lord Sri Nimai, Sri Gaurasundara, is also Chandra. Meaning though Mishra is the surname, there is a Chandra added to it because the Lord's presence is always cooling. He is as cool, like just like how we say Nita is as cooling as thousands of moons like that. Nimai is also very, very cooling. So here we have his family surname as Mishra and a Chandra added to it. So now in this verse, we see that there is a glorification of Sri Jagannath Mishra. So Jagannath Mishra, what was he doing when he saw his son grow up? He would be oftentimes just carried away looking at the beauty of his son. Whenever he saw his son, he would float in an ocean of bliss. This is what this verse is saying. So to connect this to the previous verses, we had a beautiful class by Her Grace Meeta Gandharvika Mataji. And she explained to us the previous few verses about how the happiness that was felt by Jagannath Mishra was incomparable. His son was studying nicely. Nimai was going to school. He was coming back. He was, though he was doing plenty of mischief, still, they would get so much happiness seeing him perform this mischief as well as study very nicely. So that is the context of this verse. So like this, there's a continuation saying that Sri Mishra Chandra would float in an ocean of bliss all the time whenever he saw his beautiful son. Kama deva jiniya prabhu se rupavan prati ange ange se lavanya anupama. We have already seen the meaning of lavanya, which is overall beauty. We try to make a distinction between saundarya and lavanya earlier. So saundarya is like every anga is beautiful and lavanya is overall beauty. So the Lord had overall beauty and actually every anga, anupama, was incomparable. It was extraordinarily beautiful. And his beauty surpasses Kamadev. So just like how Krishna is celebrated as Madan Mohan, and Srimati Radharani is Madan Mohana Mohini. Similarly, here we have Nimai, who's non-different from Krishna, whose beauty surpasses even that of Cupid. So he's the bewilderer of Cupid. Obviously, he's non-different from Krishna. So this verse says, Kamadeva Jiniya Prabhu Serupavan. His beauty was even greater than that of Kamadev. So anyone who sees Krishna face to face cannot but stop continuously looking at him. So like that, a little Nimai's beauty surpassed the beauty of Cupid, and everyone who saw little Nimai was just captivated, and especially the father, because always parents, they have some sort of a special affection towards their own child. The child is the expansion of one's body. So obviously there's going to be intense affection towards the child, and especially the mother's eye is anointed with love. So it is said that, you know, there is a saying in traditional Indian languages that for a crow, its child is as good as a golden bird, because a crow is always blackish in color. It may not appear very beautiful, but for the mother crow, its child is very, very beautiful. It is like a golden bird. So like that, the affection of a parent is incomparable. For a parent, however the child may be, the child is the most beautiful thing. Now here we have Nimai, who is the abode of all beauty. His beauty is incomparable. And so is Lord Sri Krishna. So you can imagine how much ecstasy that parent would be feeling when they see the beauty of their child. So here is the Supreme Lord, and here is the father of the Supreme Lord, who's feeling that ecstasy in his heart, looking at the incomparable beauty of his son. Iha deki Mishra Chandra Chintera Antare Dakini Danave Pache Putre Bhala Kare. Now, when a child is very, very beautiful, what do? We traditionally, we have something called as a taking out evil eye, right? So we don't want any sort of an evil eye. So they put a small dot in black color to the cheeks of a baby. If you see traditional Indian babies, because the child is so beautiful and so attractive, the first thing they do is they take some black ink, black dye, and then they apply it on the cheek so that the evil eye is not there on the child, because the child is so beautiful. So especially the parents are very fearful of certain evil forces taking over small children and old people. So here comes the verse that talks about Dakini and Danavas. So who are Dakini? Dakini are a set of female followers of Rudra, or a follower of Bhadrakali. They are somewhat, equated to witches and sorceresses. So, and Danavas, of course, you all know, are the sons of Danu. They are a class of demons. And Danu was one of the wives of Kashyapa Muni, as much as Diti and Aditi were wives of Kashyapa Muni. So Kashyapa Muni had several wives who were all the daughters of Daksha. And I think 15 or 16, I'm not sure of the number. But many of them were married to Kashyapa Muni. And Diti, Aditi are very famous. Similarly, Kadru and Vinata are very famous. Like that, Danu is also very famous. Danu's sons are the Danavas. They are also a set of demons. So sometimes demoniac forces take over, exert their force on little children. Like you all know the story of Krishna when he was a baby, who came to attack him when he was not even 1 year old. Any guesses? Sudevi, you want to guess? Putana, very good. So you see this verse, we can go to Srimad Bhagavatam. This talks about what happened when Krishna was a baby and how the gopis gave him protection. So after Putana came and she came and she tried to give poison milk, the Rajavasis were very, very worried. So what they did was they started applying protection. They started chanting mantras and they were applying protective tilaks. They were whisking the tail of a calf, and then they got cow dung and urine, and they applied tilaka marks on the different parts of little Krishna's body. And as they were chanting the mantras for protection, what were they praying? They were praying that all these different evil witches and the forces should not take over the child. So you see the same word dakini here. So dakinyo yatu dhanyascha kushmandaye arpaka graha bhuta preta pishashascha yaksha raksho vinayaka kotara revati cheshta putana matrakadaya unmada yehi apasmara deha pranindriya druhaha swapna drishta mahopata vritta bhala grihaschaye sarve nashyantu te vishnor namagrahana bhiravaha. So it says the evil witches known as Dakinis, Yatudhanis, and Kushmandas are great enemies of children. And the evil spirits like Bhuta, Preta, Pishasha, Yaksha, Rakshasa, and Vinayakas, as well as witches like Kotara, Revati, Jeshta, Putan, and Matrika are always ready to give trouble to the body, the life, air, and the senses, causing loss of memory, madness, and bad dreams. Like the most experienced evil stars, they all create great disturbances, especially for children. But one can vanquish them simply by doing what? Uttering the holy names of Lord Vishnu. For when Vishnu's name resounds, all of them become afraid and go away. It's a very simple formula. So everyone is worried about these evil forces, evil planets, evil influences. So what is the best thing to do? Always chant the holy names of the Lord. So we have the greatest formula that is given to us in a very easy, palatable way, in a silver plate, without much efforts. Our acharyas, they have churned out the essence of all the scriptures and they have given it to us. So all that we need to do is just chant the holy names. And it's not, chanting the holy names. By chanting the holy names, getting rid of evil forces and influence is only a byproduct. But the real meaning of chanting the holy names, the real phala, is actually attaining love of God. But anyhow, when you're chanting, you're also getting rid of these things. So that's the reason the gopis, when Krishna was attacked by Putana, who's a witch, and you see in this verse, there is also the mention of Putana. She's also a variety of witch. So these are all the different varieties of witches who come and who take over little children. So when Krishna was attacked by Putana, immediately all the gopis, they came and they chanted the different names of Vishnu. That's how they gave this protective kavacha. Just like how when we apply tilaka, what do? We do Keshavaya Namah, Narayanaya Namah, Madhavaya Namah, Govindaya Namah. What is it? These are protection, right? How do we apply the protection? By using the Gopi Chandan. How are we applying protection? By chanting holy names. Keshavaya Namah, Madhavaya Namah. These are all the holy names of the Lord. The holy names of the Lord will give protection to our body. So like that, they were giving protection to Krishna, who's non-different from the Supreme Lord himself. These are all his own names. But even for Krishna, his holy name was giving him protection. Same thing was happening with Nimai, right? So here we see in the story, Jagannath Mishra was very, very afraid that these Dakinis and other evil forces might take over his child, looking at the child's beauty. The child is so beautiful. So to remove this influence, what did he do? He did the same thing, obviously. Bhaye Mishra Putre Samarpe Krishna Sthane Hase Prabhu Gaura Chandra Ade Thakishune. Out of fear, Sri Mishra surrendered his son at the lotus feet of Krishna as Gaura Chandra smiled while watching from a secluded place. So Mishrachandra was very, very afraid for his child. So he went and he surrendered. He surrendered to the Lord and he was praying to the Lord, please protect my beautiful child. And Nimai was watching from a secluded place and he was smiling because he was thinking, oh, you're asking me to give protection to myself? So he was thinking like that and he was smiling. Mishra bole Krishna tumi rakshita sabara putra prati shubha drishti kari kariba amara. So what did he say? Jagannath Mishra prayed, oh Krishna, you are the rakshita, you are the protector of all. Please glance mercifully on my son. So rakshita means protector or deliverer. There is only one protector in this entire universe. We are all seeking protection. Everybody is seeking protection for everything that we do. Every minute, padam padam yadvi padam natesham, every second in this material world is full of danger and we seek protection, right? We seek protection from different kinds of fears. But the truth is that there is only one protector and that protector is Sri Krishna. This was very evident in the story of Gajendra. When Gajendra was caught by the mouth of the crocodile, all his family members, everyone who was present there, they all tried to help him, his friends, his family, everybody. Yes, they did their best. Everything was going well. But ultimately, who is the ultimate deliverer, ultimate protection? It is Krishna. So Krishna, nothing moves without Krishna's sanction. So even when we are having protection that is coming by through people around us, we must always acknowledge that it is ultimately being sanctioned by Krishna. That's why we are getting that protection. This is a very famous verse often quoted by Srila Prabhupada in his conversations and in his lectures and in his letters. This is directly from the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 2. And this is an interesting chapter because in this chapter, the advice of Hiranyakashipu, the most terrorizing demon who had temporary wonderful realizations and who gave his own Gita, who gave his own advice, is recorded in chapter 2 of the 7th canto. And you will be surprised that he had so much knowledge about the soul and the body. And he was in fact advising everyone not to lament for the body, and one should always think about the soul that is eternal, like how Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita, right? The chapter 2 of the Bhagavad Gita, this is the first lesson that we learn from the Bhagavad Gita, that you are the soul and you're not just the body. So Hiranyakashipu, though he appeared to be a very demoniac, he was demoniac, But still, it seemed that he probably had a lot of knowledge. But the problem with Hiranyakashipu was that he did not apply his knowledge in his life. He only gave free advice. So what was the free advice that Hiranyakashipu gave? He told a story to his sister-in-law, that is the wife of Hiranyaksha, who's called as Rushabhanu, that was her name. So she and mother Diti, now who's the mother of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. He gave them advice, telling them not to lament so much for the death of Hiranyaksha. And he said that the body is temporary, but the soul is eternal. So we should not sit and lament and waste our time in lamentation. So that was the advice that he was giving. But of course, he didn't apply it in his own life. He just thought he's going to be eternal, and he dared to challenge Lord Vishnu. So demons are like that. They will talk, but they will not act. But anyway, so what did he say? He quoted the story of a great king by the name Suyajna. So this Suyajna, he was a very, very successful king. But in a battle, he died. And all his relatives and his wives, they came. He had several wives. All of them came and they were lamenting and they were crying and crying. And they were not they were not allowing his body to be taken away for cremation, because they were so attached. They just thought that the body is non-different from the owner of the body. So they were very attached to him, and they were not letting anyone take away the body of their husband. So at that time, Yamaraj, he comes in the form of a small boy, and he talks some very, very wise words. So these are some of the words of Yamaraj directly, who comes in the guise of a small boy. And who's telling the story of Yamaraj giving advice to these women, the wives of Suyajna? Hiranyakashipu is telling the story of Suyajna's wife's lamentation to his sister-in-law and his mother, telling them not to lament like the wives of Suyajna. Okay, so I hope you've all got the context. So what did this boy do? This is Yamaraj, who came in the guise of a boy. So he said, "Oh, weak women, only by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's never diminished, is the entire world created, maintained, and again annihilated. This is the verdict of all Vedic knowledge. This material creation, consisting of the moving and non-moving, is exactly like his plaything. Being the Supreme Lord, he's completely competent to destroy and protect." So it says he is the only person, the one and only person who gives protection. So who is the one who is giving protection? It is only Krishna. Nobody else. Nobody else. Nobody else can actually give protection to anyone. Of course, they might be immediate causes for protection, but the ultimate cause for giving protection is by the sanction of the Lord. So here we see Rakshati means maintaining and annihilates. Avalampati. So these two words indicate he is the ultimate protector and the ultimate destroyer. So only by the will of the Supreme Lord. This is a very famous verse that is often quoted by Srila Prabhupada, indicating that, ultimately it's only Krishna. If he wants to protect, he will protect. If he doesn't want to protect, he will not protect. So this boy, he was telling these women that even in the womb of a mother, there is no guarantee that a child will be protected, right? See here again, the word Rakshita, this is the previous verse. The boy says, "It is wonderful that these elderly women do not have a higher sense of life than we do. Indeed, we are most fortunate, for although we are children and have been left to struggle in material life, unprotected by father and mother, and though we are very weak, we have not been vanquished or eaten by ferocious animals. Thus, we have a firm belief that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has given us protection even in the womb of the mother, will protect us everywhere." Actually, this is the verse that Prabhupada quotes. Of course, the next verse is connected too. Sa rakshita rakshati yohi gharbe. This is the phrase that he often quotes. That it is, even when one is in the womb of one's mother, right from the conception, right from when you have been conceived in your mother's womb till the last minute of your life, ultimate protection is actually given by Krishna. If Krishna decides, okay, that you may not be able to naked through the womb, then you will not, right? In spite of whatever medical assistance or whatever you may be doing, you know, it's ultimately life and death is all in Krishna's hands. So this boy, this is not non-different from Yamaraj, but he poses himself to be an orphan or a person who has no protector. So we have also seen many children like that. They just, you know, they just appear, they grow up, they try to find food, they get food, they grow up, and somehow in life they make it, right? We have seen many things like this in India. They just happen to live by themselves. Who's giving them protection? But this boy who's none other than Yamaraj, he's posing to be one such person, that he just came to life by his parents. He was left. And he was being left to struggle in material life. He was unprotected by a father and mother. A father and mother did not take care of him. And he was very weak. Obviously, a child is very weak. But he was not vanquished or eaten by ferocious animals. So like that, he just survived. And now he comes to this battlefield where he sees this wives crying. And he tells that your crying is meaningless. You know, it is all ultimately the sanction of the Lord. The Lord gives us protection wherever we are. The Lord has given me protection when I was a child. The Lord has given me protection when I was in the womb. And the Lord will give me protection in every stage of life. And it is His decision. If He wants to vanquish me at one point, like a plaything, like for example, a child, he goes to the seashore and he just makes different castles out of this mud there, right? The sand there. He builds sand castles. And then he likes to play in that sand castle for some time. He gets his toys, he gets all these building blocks, and then he does something in the sand castle. He creates beautiful faces and all that. And then when his parents call him that it's time to go, what does the child do? He himself destroys his creation and then he runs away because he doesn't want the waves to come and destroy his creation. Like that, the Supreme Lord, He's in control of everything. This entire material creation, our existence of everyone who's moving and non-moving is exactly like a plaything of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord desires, He creates. If He wants to destroy, He will destroy it and He will keep moving. So He's the only one who's competent to destroy and protect. Another analogy is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam of that of a spider. What does the spider do? This analogy is quoted like 6 or 7 times in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll be very surprised, you know, again and again it keeps coming in the Bhagavatam. The example of a spider. So what does a spider do? A spider spins a web from its own mouth, from its own saliva, right? So from its own saliva, its own energy. It is not taking help from somewhere else. From its own saliva, it's able to spin a web for its existence and for its maintenance. And the same spider will destroy, suck back the web and then keep moving, destroy its existence and keep moving. So like that, everyone in this material world are simply maintained by the Supreme Lord. He's the ultimate controller of everything. So like this little boy, Yamaraj, he was giving advice to the wives of Suyagna and asked, telling them that time is moving. Don't waste time in lamentation. Try to act on something, right? And the same thing Hiranyakashipu also tells the wife of Hiranyaksha and his mother, Diti, telling that there's no point just wasting time lamenting. We have to take action. And then, of course, being demoniac, his intention, his actions were somewhat in a demoniac way. He decided that he wanted to become immortal, going against his own advice. And you know the rest of the story. So let's move on to see about what Jagannath Mishra was praying. So like this, Jagannath Mishra he understood reality. He knows Krishna, that is, Krishna is the protector of all. So the only way that his son can be protected from anything bad or anything evil is if Krishna's sidelong glance falls on his son. So Krishna's mercy is very, very powerful. That is the only protection and that's the only hope that we have. If a sidelong glance falls on us, we are automatically protected. So here, verses 86 to 87 is not there here. So I'm going to pull it up from a different source so that we can hear what 86 and 87 is about. So these are the verses. Yeto mara charana kamalas smriti kare kabhu vignana aishetaha namandire तोमार स्मरण ही न ये पाप स्थान ताताय डाकिनी भूत प्रेत आदिष्ठान. सो places where forgetfulness of Vishnu is prominent are known as sinful places. Such places are inhabited by abominable species like ghosts, witches, and evil spirits. The devotees of the Lord are demigods because the devotees always remember the Lord wherever they reside is known as a sacred place. Okay, so devotees of the Lord, what do? They chant Harinam. Right, what is wherever there is remembrance of Vishnu, that place will be free of all sins. That place is completely protected. So there is no question of having ghosts or witches or any evil forces in a place where Vishnu's names are chanted. So that's why we are often told that when we enter a new home or when we enter a new environment, the first thing we do is we play Prabhupada chanting. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? It's very scientific, because those vibrations are extremely powerful. And if there is any negative force in that place, it is automatically taken care of. Chanting of the holy names goes a long way. Yes, you can perform yajnas, all that is very nice. But ultimately, even in those yajnas, what is being done is chanting the holy names. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he quotes some very beautiful verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is worth our glance. So I will just read the English translation for you all. O Madhava, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, if devotees completely in love with you sometimes fall from the path of devotion, they do not fall like non-devotees, for you still protect them. Thus, they fearlessly traverse the heads of their opponents and continue to progress in devotional service. So this is a glorification of the devotees, that the devotees constantly take shelter of Sri Krishna and Krishna never leaves them. It may appear externally, oh, Krishna's, not really protecting them. But real protection is not just protecting the body. It goes a longer way. That one will realize, we all will realize, as we truly progress in Krishna consciousness. Now, let's see what else is being mentioned. The demigods place many obstacles on the path of those who worship you to transcend temporary abodes of the demigods and reach your supreme abode. Those who offer the demigods their assigned shares in sacrificial performances encounter no such obstacles. But because you are the direct protector of your devotee, he is able to step over the head of whatever obstacle that the demigods place before him. So a person who surrendered to Krishna, yes, demigods will. Demigods meaning, we should not think demigods have no other business other than, giving us problems. It's not that. It means more that, there are so many influences in a person's life. Like, for example, one such influence that is mentioned in the previous verses is planets. They may exert certain influences, right? Depending on the influence of certain planets, we undergo good and bad phases in life, right? But everybody, all these demigods who are ruling over the planets and everyone else, they are all ultimately under the control of the Supreme Lord. So he is the direct protector of every devotee. If one is surrendered to the Lord, he is easily able to step over and move ahead of any obstacle that comes his way. See, obstacles will not stop. It will come for everybody. Even if you're a devotee, it doesn't mean that your life is a smooth sail. Everything is going to be perfect. It is not possible. This material world is not designed to be that way. You're in a place where the material world is going to pose problems. But if you take shelter of the Supreme Lord, you can easily step over and move ahead from any obstacle that anyone can place in front of you, because he's the Lord of everyone. Therefore, O Vidura, this is the next verse quoted by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Therefore, O Vidura, how can persons completely under the shelter of Lord Sri Krishna and devotional service be put into miseries pertaining to the body, the mind, the nature, and other men and living creatures? In the Garuda Purana, it is stated, one who has realized Madhusudhana within his heart cannot be killed by the curse of Durvasa or the thunderbolt of Indra, the husband of Shachi. And in the Naradiya Purana, it is stated, neither a king, a thief, nor disease can create obstacles for one engaged in worshipping Lord Vishnu. A person engaged in the worship of Achyuta cannot be checked by ghosts, witches, evil spirits, planets, sorceresses, and other demons. One may also refer to the Bhakti Sandarbha in this regard. So, yes, problems may come, but a devotee can easily surpass any problem. Nothing can really affect him. The way he chooses to respond is going to be very, very different because Krishna has covered him up completely. So Krishna is taking care of him, right? So the way a devotee faces a problem and the way a person who's not really taken shelter of Krishna faces a problem is going to be very, very different. And of course, we should understand that wherever Harinam is chanted, evil spirits and planets and sorceresses and all these cannot exert their influence. And validate this point, we know several stories with Srila Prabhupada. How Srila Prabhupada, he writes in one of the letters that he had acquired a property knowing that it was possessed by ghosts. But he knew the simple formula of getting rid of that. He got it at a very good price. He got this property at a very good price. And the simple formula he applied was just chanting the holy names. He just chanted, he did Sankirtan, and the effects were gone. That ghost was also delivered and he also got the property. So like this, you know, there was another property in London. It was some big property that they had acquired, the devotees had acquired, and they had heard stories that it was a property that was possessed by ghosts. So Srila Prabhupada said, it's okay, get it for a good price and then we'll take care of it. And they all did Sankirtan and that place was cleaned up. So by doing Sankirtan, not only are you getting something in the service of the Lord, a property in the service of the Lord, but also the ghost that was there was also delivered. So look at the way Sankirtan works. Look at the way Krishna Nama works. So that is the potency of holy names. Wherever there is the chanting of the holy names, nothing can exert its influence. This is interesting that in one place it is written that what to talk about the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, even chanting the holy names of the Lord's devotee goes a long way. So even if you chant Srila Prabhupada's Pranam Mantra, that itself is sufficient for getting rid of any problem. Just like there was a story recently that was circulated in WhatsApp about one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, who was in Russia under the behind the Iron Curtain, and it was a point of time when she was actually tortured to a great extent. Her name was Purnamasi Devidasi, and the people, they had actually brought in a witch to chant spells and bring her under control. And the way that she actually stopped the process was she was continuously chanting, and especially when she chanted Prabhupada's Pranam Mantra, that lady couldn't really exert her force on Purnamasi Mataji, because the devotee is so powerful. Devotee of Krishna, Krishna's names are powerful, but the devotee is even more powerful simply because the devotee feels more connected to his disciples. He's more easily accessible. A guru is more easily accessible than the Supreme Lord himself. So Guru is the representative of Krishna. So even if you chant a devotee's name, it goes a long way. So well, let's see what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati quotes here. He says, "My dear King, wherever people in any position perform their occupational duties of devotional service by chanting and hearing Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, there cannot be any danger of bad elements. Therefore, there was no need of anxiety about Gokul when the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present." This is again from the same chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Putana comes. So this is the verse. Na yatra shravanadini raksho ghanani swakarmashu kurvanti satvatam bartur yatudhanyascha tatrahi. My dear King, wherever people in any position perform their occupational duties of devotional service by chanting and hearing, there cannot be any danger from bad elements. Therefore, there was no need for anxiety about Gokul when the Supreme Personality of Godhead was personally present. So even at the time of Putana, when the problem of Putana was going on, what they were doing is they were chanting and they were applying tilak on Sri Krishna. Why was this verse spoken by Shukadeva Goswami? Because the minute Shukadeva Goswami said one sentence to Parikshit Maharaj that a witch by the name Putana came when Krishna was a little baby, Parikshit Maharaj got very alerted. He got very worried. He was very anxious, like any other person, any other devotee, or any other parent who has a small child. The minute you know that your child is in danger, you'll become very anxious, right? So like that Parikshit Maharaj, out of intense affection for Krishna, at that point in time when he was hearing Harikatha, he got very worried. Oh, Putana came, then what happened? So immediately Shukadev Goswami, to pacify him, he tells, don't worry, they chanted the holy names, and wherever the holy names are chanted, there is immediate protection. So you should read this chapter. I mean, I know you've all read it, but read it again today. Canto 10, chapter 6. The entire chapter is very, very beautiful. It just talks about how potent these holy names are there. Even when Krishna was present, this was the formula. Everyone was chanting the holy names and they were giving protection. Of course, the Supreme Lord was present there, but still the formula that was known to everyone was chanting the holy names. This is an explanation about this verse. This verse was spoken by Sri Shukadeva to anxious Parikshit Maharaj to confirm that since Putana was engaged in sinful activities, she would certainly die. The explanation is given from Saratha Darshini and other places. Okay. So let's move on. So that was verses 1:8, 86 to 87.
नयत्र श्रवणादीनि रक्षोज्ञानी स्वकर्मसु कुर्वन्ति सत्वतं भर्तुर्यातु धान्यश्च तत्र हि.
This is the verse that we read. So it is again quoted by Vrindavan Das Thakur. So this is in context with Putana's last time. We just read this verse from Bhagavad.
আমি তো রাধা স প্রভু ইয়াতে আমারা রাখিবা আপানে তুমি সকল তোমারা.
Oh my Lord, I am your servant. Everything I possess belongs to you, so please preserve it. So this is Jagannath Mishra. He was very worried for his child. So he went, he surrendered his child to the lotus feet of the Lord, and he prayed to the Lord, he chanted the holy names of Krishna. He said, you are the only protector and everything belongs to you. Because everything belongs to you, it's your business to preserve it. Even my child belongs to you. So please preserve my child. So that's how Jagannath Mishra was praying to the Lord.
Ata eva yata ache vigna vasankata na asukha kabu mura putrera nata nakata.
Therefore, do not allow any obstacle or danger to disturb my son. Sankata. Sankata, you all know, is distress or misery. Sankata.
E mata nirvadhi mishra jagannata eka chitte vara mage toli dohi hata.
In this way, with folded hands and fixed concentration, Sri Jagannath Mishra constantly begged for the Lord's mercy.
दैवे एकदिन स्वप्न देखि मिश्र वर हरिषे विषाद बड़े हला अंतरा.
One day, so time went by like this, Jagannath Mishra was relishing his small child's pastimes, and he was constantly praying for the protection of his child. And then one day it so happened that Jagannath Mishra unexpectedly had a dream. Okay, this was kind of very, very intense for Jagannath Mishra. He had a dream that filled his heart simultaneously with happiness and lamentation. Why happiness and why lamentation? He saw a very, very strange dream. What did he see in that dream? What made him happy? What made him lament?
Swapna dheki sthava padi dandavat kare he govinda namani rakula mora ghadhare.
After the dream, he offered his obeisances. He ran back to the temple in his room. He offered his obeisances and he prayed, oh Govinda, let me my stay at home. So he had a terrible dream.
Sabe evara Krishna mage tora thani krihasta haye ghare rakula nimani.
Oh Krishna, this is the only benediction I ask for you. Let Nimai stay at home as a householder. So he had a dream, he saw something, he ran to the temple
And he prayed to Krishna, please let Nimai stay as a Grihastha. Let him be a householder. So obviously, what is the dream he saw? If he's praying that, if he's requesting Krishna, please let him stay as a householder, he has seen something in his dream that his little child, Nimai, is going to take sannyas. So that is something that he's seeing in his dream. So when he was praying like this aloud in the temple hall, at that time, Mother Shachi, who saw her husband praying like that to the deities, she comes running and she asks, Shachi jiknyasaye badahaya vismita esa kalavara kene mage achambita. Astonished, Shachi required, why are you suddenly asking for these benedictions? Asambhavita means sambhavita, asambhavita. Asambhavana means what? Suddenly some misfortune happening, right? So when she saw this suddenly that her husband is going and crying in front of the deities, asking Krishna to maintain him as a householder, as a grihastha, and not allow him to take sannyas, Shachi could understand something really bad happened. So she asked, why are you asking for such benedictions? What happened? What did you see? Did you get some, you know, information that something is going to happen to our child? So at that time, Jagannath Mishra replied, Mishra bole aji muni dekhi lun swapana ni mani karayache yena shikar mundhana. Jagannath Mishra replied, today I dreamt that Nimai had shaved his head. So now this is something that is interesting for everyone to know. See, Brahmacharis also shave their head, right? Brahmacharis shave their head. Especially when they're going for education, you might see that little boys might shave their head. But traditionally, a shikha is kept, okay, for a Vaishnava, you know, boy to continue his education. The tradition is to keep a shikha. Okay. So these Mayavadi sannyasis, what happens with them? Is that when they take sannyas, they completely shave their head, the shikha is removed, they do not accept tridanda sannyas, they accept ekadanda sannyas, and they also take off their sacred thread, the brahmana upavitamasta, right? They just take away that. So this is how the ekadanda sannyasis take sannyas. But tridanda sannyasis, tridanda means Vaishnava sannyasis. Vaishnava sannyasis, they take tridanda, and they keep a shikha because they know that it is the Lord. They depend on the Lord, that the Lord is the one who's going to pull them up from this ocean of samsara. That's the reason they keep a shikha. And they continue to keep up their sacred thread. Now, when Jagannath Mishra saw the dream, he saw Nimai had completely shaven his head. Actually, Nimai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, had taken ekadanda sannyas. Okay, that is how he took sannyas at that time and age. Because during that time, it was common in certain parts of India to take up ekadanda sannyas. And he specifically did that so that he could preach to the ekadanda sannyasis. That was his point, right? He wanted to preach to the Mayavadis or he wanted to preach to the Advaitavadis. So that is the reason why he specifically takes up ekadanda sannyas. So in the dream of Jagannath Mishra, he saw that his little Nimai had actually taken up ekadanda sannyas. Completely his head was shaven and he had removed his shikha. This is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually would do in the future. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father had already seen this pastime of his son in the future. So here you see Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the purport, he writes, during the manifest pastimes of Sriman Mahaprabhu, the ekadandi sannyasis who followed Shankaracharya were prominent in northern India. The ordinary people at that time accepted that shaving one's shikha was a symptom of sannyas order. So that is what Jagannath Mishra saw in his dream. So immediately he could understand that there is something that is going to happen with Nimai, and very soon he's going to shave up completely. Now, what else did Jagannath Mishra tell his wife, Shachi Devi? He said, Adbhuta sanyasi vesha kaheni na yae yahase nache kande Krishna bali sarvadaya. I'm unable to describe how wonderfully he looked dressed as a sannyasi. He laughed, danced, and cried while constantly chanting the names of Sri Krishna. When Jagannath Mishra saw this dream, Vrindavan Das Thakur says what happened. He was simultaneously happy and distressed. Why he was distressed, you all know now. Because he had taken sannyas. So Jagannath Mishra could see that his son is soon going to take sannyas. It was a vision that he had. So he was completely distressed, and that's the reason he goes to the deity room and he begs Krishna to allow Nimai to become a grihastha. So he saw the a strange dream, right? So he got worried that this son might take up sannyas. But why was he happy? Why was he happy? What gave him happiness? Because we have been seeing this in the beginning of the class also. Whenever Jagannath Mishra saw the beauty of his child, his heart was immediately immersed in happiness. So when he saw this form of Nimai taking sannyas, even that form was so beautiful that it was giving pleasure to his heart. And what was Nimai as a sannyasi doing? He was laughing, he was dancing, and he was chanting, and he was crying in ecstasy, calling out the names of Krishna. So anyone who sees the Supreme Personality of God, it manifests symptoms of ecstasy in love of God. So it is interesting. If you see an ordinary person manifesting symptoms of love of God, that itself gives so much happiness to the heart. That itself will make you be very astonished. Now here is the Supreme Personality of God, who is exhibiting symptoms of love of God. So imagine how much happiness automatically it should give to the heart. So this is what Jagannath Mishra was feeling. He was feeling intense happiness. At the same time, he was feeling intense distress because he's the father. He's playing the role of the father. So obviously, no father would want to see his little child take sannyas, go through all that austerities, right? So like that, Jagannath Mishra was having mixed emotions. And he also felt simultaneously happy as he was seeing Nimai chanting the holy names of Krishna. He continued. He said, "My dear wife, what else did he see?" He said, "Advaita Acharya Adi Yata Bhakta Gana Nimani Vediya Sabe Karena Kirtana." Headed by Sri Advaita Acharya, the devotees performed Sankirtan and they circumambulated Nimai. So he was seeing the future pretty much. This is what would happen in the future. Kakano ni mani vashe Vishnura kathaya charana tuliya deya sabara mathaya. The next moment I saw Nimai sitting on Vishnu Simhasana and placing his feet on the head of devotees. Of course. Chaturmukha panchamukha sahasravadana sabegayena shrish. Jaya Shri Sachinandana. Brahma, Shiva, Anantasesh. Everyone chanted Jai Sachinandan. So Gaura Arati, that's what we sing, right? All of them are fanning Sri Gauranga and everyone is chanting the glories of Sachinandan. So like that, when Jagannath Mishra saw, he saw that even the demigods, who are the demigods? Chaturmukha. Who's Chaturmukha? Anyone wants to say? Four faces. Chaturmukha means four faces. Who has Chaturmukha?
Brahma.
Very nice. Yes. Who has Panchamukha? Who's got five faces?
Shiva.
Very good. Who is Sahasravadana? That means Sahasravadana is mouth.
Anantashesh.
Anantashesh is glorifying the Supreme Lord with his thousands of mouths, right? So like that, Chaturmukha, Panchamukha, Sahasravadana Sabe, Dayena, Jaya Sri, Shachinandana. So all of them, all these great personalities, they were chanting Jai Shachinandan, Jai Shachinandan. And all this Jagannath Mishra was able to see in his dream. Mahanande chaturdike sabe stuti kare dekhiya amara bhaya vakya nahi spure. As I watched devotees in all directions offering prayers with great ecstasy, I became speechless out of fear. Obviously. తటక్షణి దిక్కి కోటి కోటి లోక లైలాని మై బూలే నా ప్రతి నగరి నాచియా. Shortly thereafter, I saw Nimai dancing through the streets of Navadvip, surrounded by millions of people. All this is what will happen in the future. Jagannath Mishra, before he passed away, he saw everything in his dream. Laksha koti loka Nima nira pache dhaya Brahmande sparshiya sabe haridvani gaya. As those innumerable people followed Nimai, the sound of their chanting the names of Hari pierced the covering of the universe. Chaturdikke shuni matra nira stuti nila chale yaya sarva bhaktira samhati. The only sound I heard was the prayers that were being offered to Nimai from all sides as they traveled through the path of Neelachal. Neelachal is where? Which place is Neelachal?
Puri,
yes. Puri is Neelachal, yes. So we see that Jagannath Mishra, he started seeing the pastimes of Nimai, not only in Navadvip. Nimai dancing through the streets of Navadvip, surrounding by many people. So that is verse number 102. And then what has happened? His movement spread far and wide, and Nimai goes where after sannyas? He goes to Jagannath Puri after sannyas. So he was seeing all this. The only sound I heard was the prayers that were being offered to Nimai from all sides as everyone traveled in the path to Neelachal. That is what was going to happen with Nimai. Ye swapna dekhi chinta prana sarvathaya avirakta haya pache putra bahiraya. After seeing this dream, I became filled with anxiety that Nimai will leave home and take sannyas. Virakta means detached. He would become a viragi. He would become a detached person. He would become a sannyasi. I could understand that. Yeah. Then Shachi bole. What did Shachi say after she heard this terrible news? She said, Swapna tumi dekila gosai chinta na kariha ghare rahibe nimani. The quality of a mother, right? The first thing we want to do when we hear a bad news about our child is to dismiss it, right? Dismissal is the first symptom of any mother. Something bad is going to happen to my child. No, nothing will happen to my child. So immediately Shachi Devi retorted. She said, although you had such a dream, don't worry. Nimai will certainly remain home. Every mother has the same sentiment. In this verse, Gosai means the Vaishnava husband of Shachi, the son of an Aryan. So she addresses her husband. My dear Gosai, my dear great personality, don't worry. I know you had a dream, but nothing to worry. My Nimai will never leave me. He's not going to leave home. Apunti chadi nimani na jane kona karma vidyarasa tara hai yache sarva dharma. He's not interested in anything other than his studies. He's a good boy. He's studying nicely and studies has become his life and soul. He is very, very particular about his swadharma of studying nicely. So he's taken rasa and vidya, meaning he's tasting vidya nicely. Karma, vidya, all this is, he's getting taste on all of that. So he will not leave home. He will be with us. He'll study well, he'll get married, and he'll fulfill all my desires. He's given his word, he's not going to go. So this is what the mother innocently felt. Ei mata parama udara dujana nana kata kahe putra snehera karana. In this way, the most exalted couple discussed various topics out of affection for their son. So, like this, they were talking. So, what else happened after that? What happened after this entire episode of Jagannath Mishra having the dream and they having the discussion? We will see in the next class. Actually, it was time for Jagannath Mishra to disappear. Before he disappeared, he saw the future of his son. So Krishna, Nimai, he decided, you know, to bless his father because his father would not be seeing his pastimes after his disappearance. So he gave a quick trailer in the dream of his father. So that's what he did. And in the trailer, his father's heart was both happy, at the same time distressed, that his child may end up taking sannyas. So let's stop here, and we'll reserve the next part, the passing away of Jagannath Mishra, for our next class by our next speaker. And we'll take any realizations you all have. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your continued attention. Hare Krishna. Bhakti Prada Mataji. Beautiful name.
Mataji, pranam. This is Tilak. Might be second time I have or some I have joined in this group. You have discussing the topics very nicely, Mataji. They are very sweet pastimes. Thank you very much to each and everyone in this group. And Mataji, I just wanted to ask something. Actually, I have joined late. I was in another class. Guru Maharaj was taking the class, so I was listening to that class. So in middle only, I just heard. It is said that Ananta Shesh would explain, would glorify the Lord from his by his millions of mouths. And yet it is, he cannot glorify the Lord completely. Right, Mataji? So I would think so many times I have a question. There are millions of the universe. In millions of universe, Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu, he is there, right, Mataji? So there might be Ananta, Ananta Sheshas. Is it that?
Correct. Yes, why not? Yes.
So he... What happened, Mataji?
No. Even in those Ananta, Ananta Seshas could not glorify the Lord. Yeah. Because in every universe, the Lord is making Ananta pastimes. Every Ananta Sesha has Ananta glories to talk about.
Yes.
But very nice projective thinking, Mataji. Yeah. That is true. There are Ananta, Ananta Seshas who are able to describe the Ananta, Ananta, Ananta pastimes of the Lord.
Yes. Yeah. This is what I would think so many times whenever Guru Maharaj tells this. I would think, but I don't know how can I ask. So I thought today I'll ask. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful thinking. Thank you, Mataji. And that is the truth. Yes, that's how it is.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Nice to see you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Mataji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasni, Mataji. Dhanvat Pranam. Very beautiful class, Mataji. I like the stories. Mataji, when everybody was answering three face, I got 1,000 faces, Ananta, 1,000 hooded. Mataji, what is the 5-1?
Panchamukha.
Panchamukha.
Who's Panchamukha? Shiva. Right?
Oh, Shiva. Okay.
Who's Shanmukha?
Shanmukha. Got the name, but I don't know. Please tell me, Mataji.
Kartikeya. Shanmukha. That's one of his names too. Shanmukha, Panchamukha.
So, but Shiva only with the different names, right? I'm understanding correct?
Shiva has five faces. So, that's how it is described as Panchamukha.
Thank you, Mataji. Very, very beautiful class. I like the stories also from Bhagavatam. You have told it was very nice, Mataji.
Thank you, Vanita Mataji, for your continued support and for taking care of everything. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Is there anybody having any questions for Mataji? Realizations, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Sudevi.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Mataji. I like the class very much. I loved it. And whenever we names of Krishna is very powerful, and names of Krishna's devotees are very also powerful. And whenever Prabhupada used to go to any, like, he went to a place, he went to a place where some ghosts were there, and he started chanting, doing kirtan, and the ghost got liberated. And thank you very much, Mataji. I have one question. The boys keep secret when they get Brahman initiation. So what might do the girls keep?
Say that again, Sudevi. I didn't catch the point. Can you repeat that?
Mataji, Brahmins wear the sacred thread when they get Brahman initiation. And what do girls wear when they get Brahman initiation?
Girls wear dupatta. There is no need for a sacred thread for a girl, you know. So she gets other beautifications. She gets dupatta. She gets a nice sari like this. Yeah. So.
Okay, Mataji. And
see, boys, they don't have anything nice, right? Boys are boring, boring boys. So they get sacred thread. They get nice cloth. Huh? They get only thread. Yeah.
Boys keep 12 tilaks. So do girls keep 12
yes, tilaks? Yes, yes. In our sampradaya, we keep 12 tilaks. Yes, Chikana. In Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya, we keep 12 tilaks.
Yes. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Sudevi. Very sweet questions, and I love your participation in every class. We are blessed to have you on the call, Kanna. Thank you so much.
Thank you for blessing me, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Ajay Prithvilasani Mataji, Koti Koti Danbat Pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Gopinath Ki Jai. As usual, Mataji, very, very neglected in class. I missed 20 minutes class. After serving Srila Prabhupada disciple, I sleep. Please forgive me, Mataji. Please forgive me. I will hear now. Koti Koti Dandat Pranam to your sincere seva. Hari Hari Gauranga Dandat Pranam.
Thank you for your association, Mataji.
Hi, Krishna Mataji. Dandat Pranam. All the best to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
All the best to your service, Mataji.
Sukakriti.
Mataji, wonderful explanation with all the details that you gave. So I just had one question over here. Like according to the Ekadandi and Tridandi sannyasis, so because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken the sannyas from the Ekadandi sannyasi, so is it like the Mayavadis, do they encash anything on that basis? Like I don't know, so I'm asking. Like, you know, sometimes when things are on their stride, they might they've used so many things, right? One word at a time, and then they can twist and turn and they can use it in their favor. So this taking sannyas of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Ekadandi sannyasi, have they used it in their stride in any way?
Yes, I have seen that too. Yeah, many people, they have seen even Advaitis who are very who still follow their philosophy, like they don't switch to Vaishnava philosophy, but they stick to their philosophy and still claim Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be theirs. I mean, meaning because he has taken Ekadanda sannyas. I've seen this in some groups. I've seen it myself. Even in South India, there are some groups. Yeah. That's okay. Correct, Swati. That's correct, Sita Priti.
Okay. Very nice, Mataji. Very detailed explanations you give. Thank you, Mataji. Go ahead, Mataji.
Parima Mataji, she will definitely have something to add. Come on.
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Mataji is such a wonderful speaker that you don't leave any room for any doubts. So I don't have a doubt. But just a question popped up in my mind. Even in Ramanuja Sampradaya, Mataji, they have Tridandi sannyas?
Yes. Yes. Always Tridandi.
Okay, so all Vaishnava sampradayas have a Tridandi sannyas.
Tridandi sannyas, correct.
Okay, Mataji, thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Anyone else?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Srila Prabhupada. So I have one question, Mataji. As you told, I know that in Sri Sampradaya there is this Tridandi Sanyasi thing, and they keep on traveling, like they will not be in one place for
never like, seen you in that kind of church. What's wrong today?
All the time. I wear these all the time.
Yeah, go ahead, Harita.
So in Gaudiya Sampradaya also, will all the people who have taken sannyas, they also keep on moving to different places?
Yes.
Not stay for more than 3 days, right? In
correct.
That place?
Correct. That means all our sannyas.
In different temples of ISKCON or other temples also?
Yes. They keep traveling. Yes, Mataji. That's correct.
Yes. Oh, sure, Mataji. Thank you.
But Mataji, except for Chaturmas, right? For Chaturmas, correct. They have to stay for more than 3 days.
Correct. That is correct, yes. And sometimes even depending on their health, you know, there might be certain requirements, like practical requirements where they may want to stay in one place for a while, like a time to recuperate. And then again, they'll start traveling.
So Mataji, there are no other particular requirement that only at this place they can stay for 4 months, or do they choose a place where they can stay for 4 months, or it is just random?
As far as in our society, I think it is, it depends on the convenience and the situation. It's all flexible, Mataji. They just choose which place and they stay. And sometimes it might not even be needed to stay, you know. See, it's very flexible because time, place, circumstance, and the mood of the ours is a preaching movement, right? So
yeah,
we are not so much about the rules and regulations of the order. It's more about what is practical and what is needed in the hour. So depending on that, it is flexible. But traditionally, yes, that is the rule. And still, those rules apply even to our sannyasis who follow most of it. But again, that is not the focus. That is secondary. Focus is, need of the hour, preaching. Yes, even Srila Prabhupada, right? He was not worried all the time about how to follow Chaturmas perfectly. That was not the goal of his preaching.
Okay, Madhuri, thank you. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There any more questions for Mataji? Realizations, questions, comments are there, of course. Anita Mataji said it's a beautiful class. Chinmay Vrajapriya Mataji said it's a nectarian class. And Ishumati Mataji is saying very beautiful class. Thank you, Mataji.
Shivani. Thank you so much.
Oh, Shivani Mataji, no. Shivani Mataji, I just closed the chat and then you gave the message. Beautifully, I was thinking why Mataji is saying Shivani, I didn't see. And then when I open again, there is a message, okay. Hare Krishna, beautiful class. Thank you so much, Mataji, Shivani Mataji. I saw you today on video, very nice to see you.
Yeah, even I saw her on video. Thank you, Mataji.
Oh, very nice, Mataji, very nice to see you. Very nice, Mataji. Thank you for your association.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Very, very sweet class and very, very sweet. Beautifully, you explained everything. I always love to hear everything by your mouth. Yeah.
Thank you,
Mataji. I just came late, but I just did after. Before 15-20 minutes, I just came in the class. I joined.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Girlie waiting for again another class.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Mataji,
yeah?
I have one question.
Yes.
So is there any reason for Jagannath Mishra leaving early? Is there anything, Mataji? Because why is that happen? Why lots father need to go like that? Why don't he stay more time? I mean, it was very early, right, to him to leave. Is there anything, Mataji?
Not to understand. not able to think of any specific reason that is mentioned, but maybe if someone knows, if you've heard from Guru Maharaj's lecture about any specific reason you might want to share. I don't remember off my head any specific reason that is mentioned why he had to leave early. I don't know.
I was only thinking one thing is like he went to Gaya after that, and he went to Vishnu.
He gets initiated,
and then he get the initiation. That makes sense. Means because of father has left, and then the detachment maybe is showing that. I was thinking like that, and then because of final rites of his father, that everything came for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He got initiated, but. Still, I was feeling, in Krishna's pastime, it is not like that, right, Mataji? So I was thinking, why need to his
in father? Rama's pastime, it is like that. That is the comparison.
Rama's, Dasharatha.
So I think next few verses, there is some comparison between Dasharatha and, if I'm not wrong, whoever is covering the next few verses may be able to correct. I think there is some comparison between how they console each other and how they come to, terms with the think that their father has passed away, and there is a lot of comparison with Dasharatha Maharaj and Lord Ramchandra.
Yeah. I feel Dasharatha Maharaj left means he had a lot of sorrow because of the whole drama, what had happened, who is going to coronated. But here it was, everything was happy, he was always feeling so blissful, seeing Lord's lotus face, and he was able to see everything. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made him to miss anything. He gave the opportunity to see him everything. But still somewhere I was feeling, why is that? That's why I asked Mataji.
Yeah, every pastime is different that is performed by the Lord, and everything has a meaning like, you can always understand or derive meanings as to why certain things happen. On post-analysis, we can make, like you said, Gaya, he had to go to Gaya, he had to get initiated. And then, he had to stay away from home and so many things. We can come up with an analysis just to convince our minds. But that is the decision of the Lord and the decision of his devotees. That his devotees play a particular role till a particular point and then move on. So, definitely we can always convince our minds. Understanding the future pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His mother was alone and she wanted him to stay in Jagannath Puri. So that is the reason he takes Jagannath Puri as a residence, to please his mother. So like that we can come up with several things to convince our mind.
Right, one after the other sequence.
If you look at his entire life history and his pastimes, then everything will fall in order. Everything will be logical.
Very nice, Mataji. Thank you so much. Anybody having any more questions for Mataji? If there are no more questions, we can end the call here. I would like to offer my obeisances to Mataji and all the Vaishnavas assembled on the call. Vancha Kalpa Karubhyas, Yagrupal, Vishnu, Vyayu, Chamitakana, Pavanya, Koti Vaishnav, Riti, Ki, Jai, Yudhka, Prabhupada, Our Gracious, Yasmi Mataji, Ki,
Jai,
Thank you, Mataji, Koti, Koti, Dhan, Pranam, Hare Krishna,
Thank you, everyone, for joining today's class. We'll meet tomorrow. Haribol.
Hari Bol.
See you.